This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on Red-Hot-Mama.com. It's June 14th, and this is episode 60.
Number 60. Can you believe that?
I'm your host, Amanda.
Oh,
with
I'm
me,
sorry.
As always, is the crack technical staff,
interrupting
Johnny.
As
welcome
always.
To the show,
Hi.
Johnny.
Hi.
It's hot to have you here.
It is hot, but that's because we turned the fan.
I know. We got to do this fast because it's too hot in here to have that fan off. It's not like we don't have air conditioning in here, but you got to keep the air moving, you know?
Yeah.
So, how about them Reds, huh?
Hey, there's some good news.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
What is it?
Homer Bailey is okay.
He's,
He's okay.
He's okay.
And he's shown a lot of promise. He's had two starts now.
Yeah.
First one, he got the win in, just barely.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's pretty badass, though, when he had the bases loaded and struck the guy out.
Yeah.
To end the fifth.
Sure.
That was, ooh.
Yeah, but I mean, he's just okay. I mean, he's fine. I'm yeah. not saying anything like that, but... You know,
well,
he's
so far,
he's
not a complete bust.
And, you know, maybe in, like, a few years, he'll be really fantastic, but it's not really like he's any better than anyone else in the rotation. And
no, but with him, he's so much younger that...
The rotation was never really the problem anyway, except for Milton, who is no longer in the picture.
Oh, that's right. Milton, that's... it sucks for Eric Milton, but he's had such a... I think,
yes,
personally,
no,
he's
I mean,
probably... Or professionally, he's had such a... terrible time of it the last 2 years that this is just
he always looks so sad. You know, it seems like he just always looks so sad. He's just always coming out of games, he's all sad. He's really down on himself. You're just like, oh, poor Eric Milton and his $31 million. Poor guy. But you know, money's not everything. And I don't know what I would do with that much money, really. Actually, I would still do exactly what I'm doing now, probably.
You might quit work.
Maybe for a short amount of time.
Or maybe, you know, go in half days, 4 times a week, you know, just...
Yeah, it could be something. You know, I could go just
not
to...
Not work a full 40
just
hours.
Just to struggle with the people on my teams who want to just get jobs done and not do them right.
Right.
Anyway.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, wait, what were we talking about? Eric Milton. Yeah. He's kind of out of the picture now. And so Bailey's
season-ending surgery, which is, again, sucks for him, but for the Reds is probably a good thing overall. One interesting thing about Eric Milton...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roger Clemens signed for a buttload of money.
Oh, yeah.
And he's only going to be making, you know, a handful of starts.
Right.
And they're talking, that was a big deal, how much money he signed for.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big deal last year with the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's making this many $1 million per start. Eric Milton made 6 starts this year and is going to earn over $10 million.
Awesome.
He will probably end up having earned more per start than Roger Clemens.
See, there's one for your Aflac trivia right there. That's a good one. That's a little piece of tidbit of knowledge to keep with you and give to coworkers and
right.
unsuspecting people.
Also in the running for that was a free agent the Philadelphia Phillies signed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they might have traded for him. Whatever, they did it without performing a physical or anything.
Of course, yeah.
Freddie Garcia is out for the year.
Oh, well, speaking of physicals.
So, yeah.
How about the Majeski? How's he doing, huh?
Oh, he's awesome.
Man, he's the awesome. You know, it sucks.
Well, here's...
Because it's not his fault that they keep
it's
calling
not,
him.
No kidding. Here's the deal. Wasn't he injured for, like, almost a whole year?
Yeah.
Now, when you bring people back from injuries, shouldn't you bring them all along a little slowly, you know, not throw them right into the fire... Again and
you know,
again, right
at the
away.
Same time, though, you're talking about you know the same guy who had Coffee pitch what 6 times in 7 games or something like that. I think that what Coffee was playing more than Ryan Friel for a while or something like that. I'm just saying, as far as management decisions go, you can't expect any kind of sense.
I know, but
especially
it's
when
just
pitchers
so
are involved.
Amazing, like
yeah.
5 of the last 6 games Majeski's pitched in.
That's true.
He sucked, sure.
No, he literally has played more than Friel.
Yes. So, but he's coming off a fairly major injury, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he continuing to be sent out there when he sucks? And like today, oh man, Naren upsets me so much. Homer Bailey goes 6 innings.
Mm-hmm.
He struggles mightily in the second after an 8-pitch first.
Right.
does a little bit better in the third. And then the fourth, fifth, and sixth, he's solid. Mm-hmm. No runs allowed. But he's, you know, over 90 pitches. Mm-hmm. So what does Naren do? Brings him back out to start the seventh.
Yeah, I would expect so.
Which is insane. That's not how you treat a kid. It's like he's so afraid of the bullpen for this year, he's like getting completely lost on the fact that this kid can't throw that much. He can't. Well, what's true. He expect him to do? Throw a complete game?
Well, no. But, I mean, they got to build out that pitch count at some point. I mean,
sure, but he is already at over 90. You know, you let him end the game there, six innings, three runs.
Yeah, seems reasonable, I suppose.
That's a quality start. There's still lots to grow, build on. Mm-hmm. But no, he leaves him in the seventh. So he walks the first two and then brings in Majeski to let those two runners score.
Yeah.
And now, Bailey, it's going to look like a much worse start. I'm sure he probably wouldn't feel as good because he
ended on a low note.
Yeah. It's just putting his players in a position to fail over and over again. I'm getting so tired of it.
And they do.
And they do spectacularly.
Spectacularly, really.
Which is to their credit. I mean, when you have a manager who puts you in a position to fail, it's great to have the quality of player that really goes and fails.
Yeah, really meets
to their best.
Really meets expectations there. Way to exceed expectations, guys. You know, it's what's really sad is that you're pissed off about it. I've just sort of started losing interest. I'm just like floating along. My boss was mentioning that the Reds are going out to Seattle because he had heard something about some guy in Seattle asking people for stories about their dogs that had been named Griffey in the 90s. Anyway. I don't know who it was. If it was a blog or what. But he says that they're going out to Seattle, and I'm like, really? And I sit there and I think about it for a while, and I'm like, yeah, I do sort of remember seeing that on the schedule. Now that I think about it, but it's like
back when you cared.
I don't even know who they're playing. I don't know what time they're playing. I don't know what pitcher's going, and it's just like it's a protection mechanism. It's because if I care too much, I'm just gonna get pissed off about it, and I've got enough other problems really.
Well, I don't care as much from game to game, but today really, really got to me that when he sent Homer Bailey out there.
Yeah.
Because it just felt like a move that was very short-sighted. Like, he wanted to do his best to win this particular game. But for Homer Bailey, you got to think, like, next year and the year after that. Mm. Not to mention the Reds suck this year. You shouldn't be potentially harming a kid with that potential.
Well, as careful as they've been with him to this point, it just makes sense to continue to be careful with him.
Like, this guy has the potential to be, a Roger Clemens, Nolan Ryan type. Will he be that good? Odds are against it. But very few people come along with that potential even in them. And you can't just be a frickin' moron.
It'd be tough to be a Reds commentator at this juncture, especially on TV where you gotta, keep it so positive and you gotta keep acting like the Reds are in it this season when
they're 10.5 back.
They're 10.5 back, and it's even with the other teams not doing so hot lately, they just exceed expectations in how much they can suck. And it really bothers me. What really bothers me about that is that so many people went into the season, and I'm talking about non-Reds fans here, like and analysts and magazine writers and people who notoriously know nothing, saying, "Oh, the Reds are going to be awful. They're going to come in last place." And it's turning out that they're right, but for the wrong reasons.
The things were like Harang and Arroyo, and then who else? It's like, well, actually, they didn't mean the bullpen.
No.
They meant the other starters, and Belial's been surprising.
It just pisses me off, because we're going to get to the end of the season, and there's going to be these guys that are crowing, "Oh, yeah, we were right, the Reds were awful." Like, you didn't know Jack. You didn't know Jack, because all the things that you said were wrong with the team had nothing to do with their actual performance.
Yep.
No one could know that Naren was apparently going to bump his head and lose any memory of how to manage a team that he ever had.
Naren was going to make them be a negative 10, negative 20 on their wins.
That the bullpen was going to turn out to be, possessed by Satan. The things that have happened. There's just no way you could know it.
Well, speaking of the bullpen.
Yeah.
And perhaps in time for that Seattle trip. Mm-hmm. Eduardo Guardado. It does not flow well.
That's a good one to try to say three times fast. Eduardo Guardado.
It almost rhymes.
Yeah.
But anyway, he might be back in time for that trip.
Sweet.
So maybe they'll be sending Majeski down, him and his nearly 12 ERA.
They will not send Majeski down. They'll send Coffey down. That's what they do. That's the answer to their
problem.
They're
sending Naren down.
Well, yeah, I think that I used to say that about Miley.
I don't know how they can do this with managers, where they'll be like, they'll get the guy, and he'll be good, above average for half a year to a year, and then suddenly it's like,
well, it sucks. The brain is that deadness. Freaking do it again. You
and
know,
then
that,
it's going to be Bucky Dent.
I know, exactly. It's going to get to be the 4th
of July.
And then it's
going to be Mark Berry. And then it's going to be.
Or something, and they'll fire Naren, and they'll bring on Bucky Dent, and he'll go slightly over 500, and they'll be like, oh, the season's
he finally
sweet.
Is.
Next year, we're going to do it. And it's just like, can't you see a pattern here? Hello, people. I mean, we have been down this road before. But, you know, being down a road before does not seem to. Seem to affect anything that the Reds organization does. What's stunning is that I really thought the ownership change was going to make a big difference. You know, I think everyone did. Like,
it did for a real short amount of time.
You know, all I've seen is the difference it's made on the business side. I haven't seen a lick of difference that it's made on the baseball side of things. What has it changed? Well, we don't have O'Brien anymore. We don't have anyone saying status quo.
Wasn't O'Brien responsible for getting Homer Bailey?
Yeah, you know, that's an excellent point that you've got.
So he was also responsible for getting Eric Milton, to be fair.
Yeah, but if he'd been responsible for getting Eric Milton in the minors, then it would have been a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Milton, you know, if he had drafted Milton,
yeah,
that would be good.
I really liked O'Brien's judge of minor league talent. Major league talent, not so much.
Not so
keep
much.
Him away.
But. Yeah. Evaluation of who to pay $31 million to. Perhaps he's not the one to ask.
Now that really is going to go down in history as one of the worst free agent signings ever.
And so he... Oh, yeah. You know, at the time I said he was the biggest bust. Like, he was the definition of bust. And when did he come on? 2005?
This is the third year.
Yeah. So it was like at the end of the 2005 season, it was just like... He was the definition of how bad something could be. Like, man, you really messed that up. This was an Eric Milton kind of a deal, man. You know, that sort of
thing. This is why I'm always leery of long-term contracts to pitchers. Mm-hmm. And I would... Anything over three years. 3 years is usually okay. But anything over that, you're just bound to lose a year.
Well, at some point. Or, you know, you could pay Clemens a zillion dollars per foot step that he takes. Yeah, I don't know.
So what can the team do to improve?
Well, there's an excellent feature that we've got here. Four ways that the Reds can improve their situation. So you gotta start with our number four. It's our top most ridiculous ways the Reds can improve. You didn't put that in the title, but I think that's
ridiculous.
As our friend Steve used to say.
Yeah, to put the emphasis on the dick.
Ridiculous, man. These are ridiculous. What's number four?
Move Homer to the bullpen.
You know, that's not a ridiculous idea at all. Just think how much better the bullpen would be. And
he would be used every goddamn day.
They'd probably find some way to get him in there twice.
No, I didn't use him yet.
They'd put a wig on him. They'd be like, he's Arroyo.
The hat from the giveaway.
And just think. He would never get over his pitch count limit.
Don't be so sure of that.
What else have we got?
Trade Adam Dunn.
Well, I don't see
because
why
he can't pitch in
he
the eighth.
He can't pitch in the eighth.
That's not helping him.
I don't see him pitching in the ninth either. He's not going to be setting up Eduardo Guardado.
Nope.
Is anyone going to be setting up Eduardo Guardado? Is Guardado going to have to pitch in the eighth?
They'll probably move Weathers up.
Yeah.
Which would be okay.
Remember when Coffey used to pitch in the eighth? Oh, those are the days.
I do. He pitched every night.
Yeah. What else have we got?
What do you do the next one?
Bring back Sean Casey.
How's he pitching these days?
I can't imagine he's any worse than Majeski.
Touche.
You know, he just won an award. He was voted like the friendliest player in baseball or something.
Oh, that's funny.
Which, I mean, that's like such a
no-brainer. Did they just make an award up for him to win something?
It's like they shouldn't make him a person who can be voted for. They should name the award after him.
The Sean Casey Award.
And in fact, they probably will after he retires, and it'll just be called the Sean Casey Award, and it'll be given to the friendliest baseball player. And, you know, I miss Casey.
Yeah. I don't miss his double plays, but...
I don't think he does that so much anymore.
Yeah, he was just struggling that year.
I think Dunn's starting to get into those, actually. Well, no, he was starting to get into those. Remember when at the beginning of the season when we were like, man, Dunn's really turning out to be a much more balanced hitter this year. He's making some contact.
Well, he had three singles today.
And he's getting these singles and doubles and stuff. And then I heard recently that he was on pace to beat his own strikeout record.
Yep.
So, I mean, did that all fall apart? Or has he had an incredible strikeout streak? Or has he somehow, like, had a time machine and gotten twice as many at-bats so he could still have a lot of home runs and a lot of non-strikeouts and a lot of walks? Does he walk a lot still?
He walks a little bit. He just has issues as a batter. He doesn't swing enough is what it comes down to.
Maybe he's tired. I think maybe he needs to get back to the wife that perhaps he has. And she can get back to nagging him to do his jogging and eat his broccoli and stuff. Because, you know, that's my theory on what happened to him this off-season is that he got a woman in his life who was like, honey, you said you wanted to jog today. Don't you think you better get out there and jog? Okay. Honey, you got to eat your broccoli. It's good for you. You shouldn't just eat pork rinds all day. Honey.
Ew.
Lay off the beer. Don't you think you should have
Whoa.
he's in Texas.
Okay, and the last one, number one.
Most ridiculous.
Most likely to be 100% predictive and accurate.
Continue doing exactly what they're doing now. Because that's pretty much what this team does. Keep doing the same thing. Hope things change.
Status quo. Stay the course. It's like O'Brien is still the general manager.
It's like, his spirit haunts the clubhouse. Only his minor league evaluation talent is in Milwaukee.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not really sold on Krivsky's drafting abilities yet.
Man, what about that catcher he drafted, though?
I like a lot about him, but he is a high schooler, so, check back in, 5 years.
Yeah, seriously. And it's not like... I haven't looked into it at all. All I saw was his picture on Reds.com, and so I don't know anything about him, but it seems like he's kind of just a high school kid.
Yeah.
I think I remember when I was in high school. I wasn't anything
to
be excited about.
You weren't signing, $1 million bonus.
If only. Just imagine.
Actually, he hasn't signed yet, but a lot of the later drafted players already have.
So. Sure. So what else we got?
We already glanced over the rest of the teams in the league. They continue to do about the same. St. Louis isn't in second place. They're half place back from the Cubs, who are in second now.
Oh, I see.
Milwaukee's holding steady in first. Everybody's playing right at 500
mm-hmm.
or a little below, even the Reds. So, yeah.
Man, look at the Reds' record. 46-41. 26-41. That is so many freaking losses. You know, you just tune in on any night, and
they're going to lose.
They're going to lose. It's just incredible. And they always—it just feels like they always lose the same way.
Well, today that was a little bit different because they lost in the seventh.
I wasn't watching
instead of the eighth.
But it does come down to the end of these games when it's like, you almost don't want to invest your time. You're almost like, well, I probably just ought to go to bed early because they're probably just going to lose this one anyway. And I'm just going to have nightmares and want to punch things.
Well, they're right on place for 99-100 wins still, losses still.
Oh, that's
so
good for them.
You know, Washington has pretty much taken themselves out of the running for 100 losses.
How did they do that?
They've been winning. They're like they're in last place, but they're only 8 games out.
Only 8 games, huh? Single digits out?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Look at Texas.
No, that's what I was going to say. The Reds are the only team in the National League that really has a shot at 100 losses.
Uh-huh.
In American League, there's Kansas City and the Texas Rangers with both of them really working hard at it.
Well,
worse
look
than
at
the
that.
Reds,
look at
fact.
Texas. Okay, their record is not that really any worse than the Reds at 24-42. But Los Angeles must be doing quite a bit better than Milwaukee is because the Rangers are 17.5 games
the
back.
The Angels are a solid team.
17.5?
The Angels are a very good team.
They won one of those, right? Or two of them?
One of them. They probably should have won today.
Yeah.
Well, they would have if they had a competent manager and a bullpen.
Yeah, that's tricky. Where the hell is our general manager? You know, he wasn't too afraid to trade for some freaking bullpen help last year.
He got Marcus McBeth.
Whatever.
Actually, he's been solid, actually.
has he saved anything? You know, he'd have to be used. He'd have to be utilized.
He isn't used nearly as much as one would think, considering he has actually been effective. No, it's still Stanton and Majeski every
what
day.
What the hell? What the hell?
I don't know. I really don't understand.
Does he wait until the 4th of July to make the run? Maybe he's like, oh, I know. I'll save this for a mid-season treat. What else we got?
So anyway, that's the central. Same suckiness as always.
Yeah. Oh, or maybe we call it equivalency.
Status quo. And there's some craziness going on in baseball.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Let's see, Tampa Bay player.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Dukes.
Yeah.
He's a player for Tampa Bay. He had a kid through the foster agency, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
17-year-old girl. I'm sorry, he didn't... She wasn't his foster daughter. She was the foster daughter for a relative of Elijah Dukes.
Okay, wait, hold on. Elijah Dukes is a baseball player. He has a relative who has a foster daughter who is 17.
Yes, and he got her pregnant.
Oh, okay.
Classy, huh?
Yeah. It's not...
The funny thing is...
Exactly incest.
No, but it's certainly weird, but there's not really a crime because it was consensual in the age of consent in there. Florida is 16.
Yeah.
So,
Which it also is in Indiana, I found
he's
out.
He's safe. Because he steals a lot of bases, too.
Oh, does he? I would have to know that to know that.
Yeah.
Speaking of stealing bases, how the hell is Friel doing? Is his head still hurting?
He has stopped experiencing dizziness and headaches.
That's good.
Yes. I've had, two concussions?
I like how you don't remember. Wear a helmet, kids.
No kidding. The first one was from a bike wreck, actually.
Yeah.
And that one was bad. I was, throwing up and seeing
stuff. Feral, as I recall. I remember your mom telling us that in order for, them to give you medical attention, that, they had to have multiple adults hold you down.
Yeah.
Growling like an animal and flailing about. Of course, none of this is anything you remember.
But then my second one was from attempting to ice skate.
Yeah.
I don't know that you would generally wear a helmet then.
Well,
Maybe these days, I don't know. Or helmet crazed.
Extreme helmet. Extreme ice skating.
That one wasn't too bad. I was only out for 2 seconds.
I hope get well soon out
but
there.
But anyway,
get well soon.
Neither of those were anything compared to his.
And see if you can come back and pitch in the eighth.
Yes, we need pitching.
What else we got?
Barry Bonds is still slowly on his way to breaking Hank Aaron's record.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Though he's been having out with some injuries.
I shouldn't have said that. Now this show's got to be explicit.
Oh no! God fucking damn it!
Motherfucker!
Go all the way.
Once it's explicit. Who gives a rat's ass?
All hell breaks loose. But with games he's been missing and such, there's an 8.5% chance that he won't break the record this year.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Just because of him.
What if he's found guilty of perjury?
Well, he's already guilty of being an asshole.
So. That's for sure. Hey, I saw a story in the New York Times recently that I meant to look up and link to about a newspaper. In the investigation, the investigation of the steroids case, they gave players' names to a private investigator, and once you give confidential information to a private citizen, it's free information for everyone. So there's a newspaper that's suing. I know.
Oh, really?
It's a Hearst paper that's suing for rights to that information.
Interesting.
And, wow, wouldn't that be awesome? I would love to see all the people who are named in that case.
It'd be about every single player in the majors, probably.
I think it's only 25 of them.
Oh.
It's not an exhaustive list.
Major League Baseball has their own little investigation with quotes
going on.
It sounds like such a cushy job. It's been going on for about a year now. No players have been subpoenaed.
Yeah.
It's just a complete sham. It's oh, yeah, we're looking into this steroids thing.
Well, it's like that thing in the NBA where the independent a university or something did a study and found that referees were more likely to call fouls on black players.
Right.
And then 10 minutes later, the basketball commissioner comes out and says, oh yeah, I did my own study. That's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Studied yourself jerking off in your office, whatever. It's explicit. We gotta go all the way.
It's all fixed. Pete Rose shouldn't have been betting.
Bastard.
Oh, maybe it wasn't fixed then. I don't know. He shouldn't be betting on baseball
well,
now.
Well, if it were fixed, he should have won more.
Ha! I got nothing more. We've rambled on for a bit.
That's plenty. I'm gonna turn on that fan back on. This room is getting really full of hot air.
I think we're the source of that, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think that probably part of it is you know, our rage, but part of it's the hot air.
I'm seething.
Yeah. Oh, he's turning green. You better go.
I'm furious.
So who'd they? Are you Mr. Furious?
Am I? Oh, I can't remember.
I can't remember anything either.
Rage is only matched by my fury. I want to be the forker.
Hey, baby, want a fork?
Yeah. Hey, so,
oh yeah, we got something else.
The Ken Bruce podcast. He played a little promo for us. Sent over some traffic to listen to this.
This
a little bit
pile.
Of ranting and all that, but yeah.
Sorry,
but, hey,
guys.
If you haven't listened to Ken Bruce podcast,
you should go check it out. Bruce Views or something along. Bruce Brews.
It's at kenbrew.com.
If you have a bruise. Black and Blues.
He actually has a few. He has a Bengals one.
He is very tall.
That has nothing to do with his podcasting abilities.
He is Conan O'Brien-esque is what he is.
Yeah.
What else we got?
But the one that where he discusses the Reds.
Hey, he's
most
got
often
a headline on
Brew
his
View.
He's got his own website here at Kenbrew, which is KENBROO.com.
Yep.
And he has a headline on here that's brouhaha, so I think that all of this stuff is fair game. If he's willing to say that, then I can call his podcast Brews and Views.
Okay. Well, there you go. Check that out.
Check that out, because we appreciate him sending over some traffic. And it is one of the only other places on the in the podcast world where you can hear anything on these internets, where you can hear anything about the Reds on the on a podcast. And you know, he's a pretty interesting guy. He's got some... he's got some views that differ from mine. We had to get together sometime and argue with each other. You know, when he's not arguing with his son on his other podcast.
Yes.
Anyway, so who do the Reds play tomorrow?
Who do they play tomorrow?
Do you even know?
Well, it's still interleague
stuff. Wait, I saw it.
Oh my gosh, they're playing a team worse than them, so they're bound to get swept.
Yes! Sweet!
They're playing Texas.
Texas. That's awesome. I can hardly wait.
So, look forward to that loss tomorrow night, or Friday, June 15th at 7:10 p.m.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. And, I will be anyway.
I'll be ready for it anyway.
If I even watch.
Yeah, we might have things to do.
Tomorrow's Friday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you're going out with coworkers, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're hanging out with friends.
Yeah.
I'm going to be...
stuck with the kid!
Yeah, I'm going to be here playing memory and chutes and ladders or something. So maybe I will be watching the game after all. Whatever you're doing tomorrow, keep hanging in there and go Reds!
Go Reds! Show your love for the show by leaving a comment at iTunes or voting for us at Podcast Alley. Or leave your own rant about the dysfunctional Reds and the Red Hot Diaries at our website at red-hot-mama.com. And you can always drop us a line at rhm@red-hot-mama.com.